Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Of just wonderful story of something that took place in the Old Testament that points to the resurrection of life, the resurrection of Jesus. You know, when we fell in the garden, death came. Death came. But almost immediately there was a promise, and the promise was found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And this is what God said. This is what God said to the enemy. I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, and her seed and your seed. And his seed, this seed, will come and crush your head. He'll bruise your heel, but he's going to crush your head. And I don't know if you know this in Scripture, that you can move through Scripture and you can see that there's just an all-out war on the seed of man. And it's from the enemy. You know, I think when I look at this, I think, here's this enemy who knows his days are numbered, and yet what does he do? He goes on a rampage. And he tries to kill every holy person. He tries to corrupt every holy person. And I just think that there's this desperation in his heart or his life or whatever it is. It's this desperation that says, I've got to kill the seed before he kills me. And when you look at Scripture, you see death, you see heartache, you see junk, you see sin, you see stuff with this longing for Eden, the longing in your heart, the God-shaped hole in your heart. It's not a drug-shaped, it's not a sex-shaped, it's not a money-shaped heart. Listen to me. It's none of those shaped hearts. It's not family-shaped, it's not marriage-shaped, it's not ministry-shaped, it's not church-shaped, it's not wife's husband-shaped, marriage-shaped, kid-shaped. It's God-shaped. But we spend our lives trying to fill the God-shaped hole with all those other stuff. And the enemy has many people just feeding out of his hand. This enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. We came into this world sinful. We came into this world with emptiness. And there's only one way to fill it. And that's through the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice what it says. This is Ezekiel. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they were very dry. Notice the scene. It is death. Death has happened here. It's not fresh. It's not new. There's no flesh. There's no blood. It's just dry, sun-bleached bones. They're dead. They're gone. No hope. No hope. Second, he says. Again, he said to me. Well, he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know if they can live or not. Now, I don't know about you, but Ezekiel's a man. He knows there's things that are absolutely, totally impossible in this world to accomplish and to see. And I don't know about you, but if I'm Ezekiel, I said, you might know, but I just don't see any way that these bones could ever, ever, ever live again. Could you? Absolutely not. It's an utter impossibility from the view of man and from our understanding. And I want to just tell you this. There's a lot of things in this life that is absolutely, totally impossible unless God comes and does it. Amen? Unless God comes and does it. This scene is death, but there's a question. And the question is, can these bones live? It's a good question. It's a good question. Because every one of us in this place, I mean, we still have to walk around. Sometimes we still flirt with it. Sometimes we get immersed in the things that bring death to so many people. Even as believers in Christ, we can start drifting and start looking to these other things to bring the fulfillment that only God can bring. And we fight, wake up someday and we find ourselves that there's just deadness here. There's just a deadness about my life. There's a deadness about my heart. There's a deadness about my marriage. There's a deadness about. And the quick question is can these bones live? Can they come back to life? You know, I think about this. I think about the times that you're desperate or the times you don't know what to do or when you've lost your job or the investment has been squandered, when the dream is dead, when there's a hard, difficult circumstance, when you're afflicted in every way, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, when you have failed horribly and you feel so alone. Can these bones live? In my desperation, my depression, my loneliness, my hardship, can these bones live? When it's more than a mistake or an error, no, when it's a sin that's affected you and everyone around you, when you're facing the hard diagnosis, or somebody close to you is facing the hard diagnosis, can these bones live? Can God do something in my life so powerful in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the junk, in the middle of all this, that to my mind seems so dead and so dry? Can these bones live? Yes, they can. They can. And you know, I think about this because I want you to notice what he says here. He says, so what I want you to do in verse 4, notice, I want you to prophesy over these bones. I want you to say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I'll put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I'm alive. How many of you, that's already happened in your life? You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You walked the way of the world. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love toward us, while we were sinners, he died for us. And then he caused us to come to life in the name of Jesus. And we placed our faith in Christ and his resurrection, his death and his resurrection and his blood. And we came to life. The Bible calls that being born again. And that's what he's talking about here. This valley of dry bones. This long ago fought battle where all these folks died, left families, children, wives, spouses, heartache. God is asking, can these bones live? Because this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak over them and they're going to come to life. You want to talk about a hope? You want to talk about an anticipation of God coming to fix it, to fix your heart, to heal your wounds, to heal your pain, so that you're no longer stuffing junk in the God-shaped hole. Why? Because the God-shaped hole is filled with Jesus now. It's the power of the gospel. It is the power of the gospel. I'm going to tell you this is what happens. I mean, he says this prophetic word, these bones are going to live, and God's going to say it, and God's going to say something that's really, really impossible. I'm going to cause these dry bones to come back to life, and I'm going to put skin on them, and I'm going to put blood in them, and I'm going to put every cell back in them, and then I'm going to put eyeballs back in. I'm going to put, well, they've already got their teeth probably, but I'm going to clean the teeth up, amen? Right? We'll put hair back on their head, beards on their faces. I'm going to do something significant. I'm going to restore that which is dead and long gone. Some of you have dreams that have died in you because of whatever happened. There's callings on your life today that God gave to you, that God gave to you when you were little boys and little girls. And because of failure or because of stuff that you went to a different way, that dream has died. But I want to tell you, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. And it's time for you to hear the prophetic word of God that says, these bones shall live. So you'll get up, receive your forgiveness, and get placed in position back into the calling of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of you like that today. Dreams dead. Dreams gone. Hope dried up. Can these bones live? I'm going to tell you, what's what happens is he did it. He did what God asked him to do. You know, you've heard me say this before. Listen, when God asks you to do something, even if it doesn't make sense, would you just get up and go do it? By the power of God. You've heard me say this. I say it about once a month, maybe twice a month. What's the last thing God asked you to do that you've not done? He's going to do something really, 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 really that doesn't make sense. He's going to get up and he's going to prophesy over a graveyard. He's going to prophesy over it. Why? Because God asked him to. God told him to. He said it. I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they might come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded. And the breath came into them. And they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope has perished, and we are completely cut off. Have you ever felt that way? Are you feeling that way today? There is a word for you, every one of us, for every circumstance and every situation that you're in. And it cannot be more appropriate than this Resurrection Sunday. If you're in Christ, I'm just going to tell you, although this is Easter, this is just another Sunday for us. Amen? It's another resurrection. Next Sunday will be Resurrection Sunday. When we wake up Monday, it'll be Resurrection Monday. Why? Because the old has passed away and the new has come, and it continues to come. And that's the promise of our great God. But it's all based on the burial, or the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think of Jason. I think of this young boy. And then this young man, Daniel, who walked through these waters today, that says, this has happened in my life. I've died with Christ. I've been buried with Christ. And now I'm walking a new life. It's because of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. His own immersion into death out of life. And I say this, this is the promise of the resurrection. This points to the resurrection of Jesus. I don't know if this is true. I can't find it, but it sure sounds good. So I'm just going to tell you, okay? Just put it on the back of your head. It may not be true, but I heard someone say once that I really trust that he believes that this scripture was very appropriate in the season to a Jew that they were getting ready to during the Passover. This was a scripture that was read. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Can Jesus being placed in the tomb, these dead bones, come back to life again? And this is the power. This is the power of the gospel. This in Ezekiel points to what you're going to see today. The resurrection of Christ. But before you see the resurrection of Christ, you've got to see the death. And you've got to see the burial. You've got to see the closed tomb before you can see the open tomb. Because I'm going to tell you, when you decide to die and crucify your flesh to its passions, then you will begin to see the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that this resurrection is an impossibility, right? I mean, it's just absolutely, totally impossible apart from Christ. You can't find new life. You can't be delivered from your fear. And you'll never forgive that person and get the bitterness out of your life. Well, apart from the gospel of Jesus. You'll never get rid of your lust. You'll never get rid of your habit. You'll never get rid of your addiction. You'll never get rid of your anger. You'll never get rid of your worry, fear, and anxiety. Apart from the burial, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection causes us to be born again to living God. Notice 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So he causes us to be born again. It causes us to walk as he walked. Romans 6:4. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. To no longer be slaves to sin. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism to death, so that Christ was raised to death through the glory of the Father, so that we might walk in newness of life with him. And then, folks, to live with him forever. Notice on the screen. Yeah. Romans 6:8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. I want you to bow with me in prayer for just a second. I want to ask, are you living the resurrected life today? Do you know what it means to be born again? Do you know what it means to walk like Jesus walked? Do you know what it means to no longer be a slave to your sin, your sinful habits? Are you living with him forever? And my prayer is that today you'll be so influenced by this word and what you see, because I'm going to tell you this. Everything we've talked about God doing is an utter impossibility apart from him. But God says through his resurrection, this is what I'll do in you and for you forever. And I pray in Jesus' name that we would experience this today. In Jesus' name, amen. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. Let me ask you, will these bones live? In Christ, yes, they will.